does tell a disturbing story indeed. Nitsa, our Olympic Games coverage should have been about Jessica Fox's bronze medal, Israel's two medals on the judo mat, and the thousands of athletes from around the world who came together to celebrate sport. But for the second week in a row, it was marred by hatred towards Israel. Now, the unseemly incident at the start of the Games, when Lebanese athletes prevented their Israeli counterparts from boarding the bus to the opening ceremony, was overshadowed last week when Egyptian judoka Islam El-Shahabi refused to shake hands with his Israeli opponent, Or Sasson. Now, Sasson, who beat El-Shahabi in the over 100-kilogram division, extended his hand at the end of the bout, but despite Israel and Egypt having signed a peace agreement almost 40 years ago, El-Shahabi refused to shake hands with his Israeli opponent. He was met with boos from the crowd and attempted to leave, but the referee ordered him back to give the obligatory bow. El-Shahabi gave a quick nod and then walked off. Now, El-Shahabi was sent home, and the International Olympic Committee said that his behavior was contrary to the rules of fair play and against the spirit of friendship embodied in the Olympic values. However, El-Shahabi stood by his actions. He said that shaking the hand of your opponent is not an obligation written in the rules. He said that it happens between friends and, quote, he's not my friend. You can read more about that disgraceful story, Nitsa, in this week's Australian Jewish News.
And on a different topic, Evan, we are still not sure what happened to Holocaust hero Raoul Wallenberg. And Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has called for the truth to be revealed about his fate in light of new information.
Nitsa, new information seems to indicate that Wallenberg was executed by lethal injections at Moscow's Lubyanka prison in 1947 on orders that can be traced to Joseph Stalin. Now, with these new details coming out, Julie Bishop, our foreign minister, has described the Swedish diplomat Wallenberg as a courageous hero who saved so many people from the murderous Nazi regime. Bishop told the Jewish News this week that she supports the efforts to determine his fate following his arrest in 1945, and that she wishes the Wallenberg family every success in seeking to close the chapter on Wallenberg's extraordinary life. Nitsa, of course, in Hungary in 1944, Wallenberg issued protective visas that saved tens of thousands of Jews from transportation to Auschwitz, but apparently suspected of espionage against the Soviet Union, he was last seen in Soviet custody after its army entered Budapest in January 1945. More details on that story in this week's AJN.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, Trump or Clinton? Who is better for Israel? Many people can asking me this question, and the AJN tries to answer it this week.
Nitsa, it's the big question on everybody's lips, and the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies has brought out a guest speaker to try and answer that exact question. Michael Singh, he's the managing director of the Washington Institute and former senior White House official. He addressed the Jewish Board of Deputies AGM on Tuesday night. Now, he said that Israel needs help from the U.S., countering Iran and its proxies, including ISIS. He spoke about a major concern for Israel being the rise of ISIS on Israeli borders. He also said that he believes that Israel would like the United States to take on a role of regional leadership and facilitate meetings between Israel and countries with common interests. Now, Nitsa, the question remains, can Trump or Clinton do any of these things?
That's the question, and that's what I was going to say. Who can do all of that?
According to Michael Singh, Clinton is facing an uphill battle against the Democrats who do not recognize that there cannot be a return to the original peace process because it's unrealistic. Now, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict needs new approaches to the core issues, and Clinton must facilitate those. Donald Trump, meanwhile, has less of a challenge with Republican voters because they're already largely pro-Israel. However, his foreign policies reflect the values of retrenchment and isolationism. You can read more about that story in this week's Jewish News. Trump or Clinton, the race is definitely on.
It is on. And we've got a few months to wait to see who is going to win this race. And Evan, back to Australia, swastikas were put on a bus shelter in Bondi Beach.
NITSA Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has condemned the scrawling of swastikas at Bondi Beach last week as appalling, and he said it was a vicious attempt to intimidate and insult the Jewish community. Last Tuesday, police attended Campbell Parade following reports of malicious damage. Now, officers located a staggering 15 swastika symbols that were drawn in black permanent mark on the footpath, as well as the bus shelter and poles and benches. One of the benches with swastikas also had the words "not white, not right" written in black permanent marker. The vandalism has since been removed. Now, Malcolm Turnbull said that he was appalled to hear of this anti-Semitic graffiti. He said that it's a vicious attempt to intimidate the Jewish community, and he said that this hateful vandalism has absolutely no place in our society, and those responsible should be held accountable. Now, Superintendent Jason Box said that the New South Wales Police Force takes crimes that are motivated by hatred or prejudice very seriously. He warned that any such crimes will not be tolerated, and the superintendent has called for anyone with information to come forward. A New South Wales Police spokesperson told the Jewish News this week that inquiries into the incident are continuing, and NITSA, if any of your listeners have any information, they're urged to contact Waverley Police Station or Crime Stoppers, and the number is 1-800-333-000.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, among the refugees arriving in Australia, there was an Iraqi Jew. And the AJN journalist Shane Dziatnik tells his incredible story.
That's right. It took 8 painful years for Jewish Iraqi refugee Marvin Cohen to complete a book giving testimony of his family's tragic persecution in Iraq under ruthless dictator Saddam Hussein and his own remarkable survival story. Now, Nita, this is an amazing book and an amazing story. Cohen's book explains how in 1983, aged 9, he and his father were jailed for 4 years, falsely accused of acting as spies. Within the next 7 years, 3 of his brothers were tortured and killed. His father was butchered, and Cohen witnessed his mother being dragged to her death. Now, after escaping during a second prison sentence, he managed to cross the Syrian border by foot. His journey to Australia took almost 10 years via Turkey, Hungary, and Austria. When he arrived at Perth Airport in 1999, he was promptly sent to a detention centre before gaining a refugee visa and being embraced by Perth's Jewish community.
Yes, his story actually reflects the fate of Iraqi Jews that were trapped in Iraq when the borders were closed in 1952. Most of them managed to escape to Israel from 49 till 1952. And it's a very interesting story to read. And Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you very much and have a great week.